when she's been, and
like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic bi moment of the
chaotic bi moment. And you're watching Black Bi Reality.
Black Bi Daddy.
And those who love us.
Hello, you are watching and or listening to the Black Bi Reality Podcast, a podcast for Black Bi baddies and those who love us. I'm your host, Nicole Weaver, entertainer writer, currently writing over at Pop Heist, and we are continuing our series of recapping the Traitors US Season 3, and once again, I'm joined by my co-host, Quita Tinsley. Hi, Quita.
Hey there.
Hey there. We are going to be talking about the payoff of a rivalry that has started from episode one. We have had a Big Brother Reindeers feud and them coming together. And I'm excited to have our second person from Big Brother. I mean, by now, Izzy's just a friend. But we have Quinn Martin from Big Brother 26. Hi, Quinn.
Hi, how's it going? I have some really big shoes to fill following Izzy. What a terrible life to live to have to follow her shadow, but I'm going to give it everything I have. Thank you so much for having me.
I have faith that you can do it, Quinn. What have you been thinking? Like, what's your reaction so far to the Traitors season 3? How's it stacked up? We've seen so many people come and go.
The thing that I love about Traitors is that it introduces you, or at least me, to reality TV people that I never knew existed.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness Traitors season 3 exists. Otherwise, I wouldn't know who Gabby is, okay? Since episode 1, I'm now her number one fan. I'm liking every single TikTok that comes up. I'm obsessed. And, you know, we were in the trenches, the Big Brother community, in terms of our, Traitors performances. But luckily, we have Brittany and Danielle just fighting tooth and nail every single episode to say, you know what, we are somewhat competitive. Look at us go.
Yeah.
So I've been loving it. I didn't know who Tom Sandoval was, and now I'm questioning who Tom Sandoval is. You know, I'm loving it. This is so great.
You will forever question until you will just have to go through such a long road. I'm very curious of where your takes on Tom will be. But yeah, I mean, retroactively, do we also count Suri as Big Brother? I know she did it after this, but
I would like to claim her just for the street cred, you know? some of our big brothers out here have not been delivering, and I don't blame them. It's a really fast-paced game versus, I was the first member of the jury for my season, and that was after 59 days of being in the house. So I understand that the transition period is probably very difficult. So I'm going to claim Suri just to call dibs.
Yeah, Big Brother players are slow burners. And in a way, I think Danielle, she has been a slow burn in a way. So let's talk about it. Starting off, we have our two traitors here, Danielle and Carolyn. We're still in the turret with them, and Danielle's still advocating for Brittany to become a traitor. Carolyn's like, not having it. I'm not stupid. This is not happening. So she's like, fine, Carolyn. We can murder. Now, the names that she pulls out, apparently there's a rivalry this whole entire time between Gabby and Dylan that we just haven't seen.
Right, because we've only seen just Dylan vote for her twice, right? So it's it's clear that he thinks she's a traitor, but I didn't realize how deep it was.
Yeah, you know? They're like, it's so deep, we must keep them in the game. And I'm like, editors, I know we have a lot going on, but what?
Right, I need more clips of this rivalry in the capsule.
Well, okay, so if we think about it, Dylan has been mostly working with the guys, right? I guess with Boston Rob chipping away a little bit at her girl group, maybe it's a girls versus guy thing, because I don't see Gabby that close with the guys.
No.
And maybe Dylan, he was familiar with Carolyn's season of Survivor. He was a huge Boston Rob fan. So maybe his skepticism of Gabby stems from him being like me, unfamiliar with the Bachelor franchise. And so maybe he was nervous, where she's obviously very intelligent, like, I don't know who she is. She's clearly smart, and now I'm intimidated. That's like the only logic that I can follow of his like beef with Gabby.
Fair.
And now that you say that, I'm like, has Dylan always assumed the people that are traitors, have they always been non-Big Brother Survivor folks? Because he was the first one to catch on to Bob.
Right.
And then he's been on Gabby.
Yeah. I don't think he had a huge
feeling
of anyone else.
He didn't think about Brittany until Derek said it. And I feel like it's because Derek said it that he took Brittany as like a serious consideration.
Yeah. I'm still on the fence if he was suspecting Boston Rob. I had a feeling that maybe he suspected Boston Rob, but he's like, I'm going to the end with Boston Rob and just taking him out last minute. So I don't know.
Based on his commentary this episode, that might have been his thought process. Maybe he thought that, but then started to realize maybe it wasn't just Boston Rob who was keeping him around.
But then Dylan's also close with Danielle. He also at one point says, that's my number one. And I'm like, so what's Danielle and Gabby's situation then? I'm confused.
I literally think that Danielle wants Gabby out just because Gabby is Carolyn's Brittany. Like, there's like different best friendships that have been forming. And I feel like Danielle's like, oh, okay, we can't seduce Brittany this episode. All right, then what if we just killed, I don't know, Gabby? Let's be weird. Let's kill Gabby. I don't know, Gabby should die. It would be, like, super easy and convenient for me. And I'm kind of obsessed with it. Like, you have to give Danielle her flowers for having the gall to, number one, try and convince Carolyn that, like, we're in this together. And if we bring Brittany on, we're not going to team up against you. And, like, we're going to go through the finish line together. Like, I'm obsessed with Danielle. She'll shoot her shot. She's not even worried about it remotely.
No. I love this. I love, like, I re-watched Big Brother 3, which I've been saying Big Brother 2 way too often. Sorry about that. But I watched Big Brother 3 probably after BB Reindeer Games. I'm like, it's time. And all the anger that those evicted house guests had, I wasn't in the moment. That I feel like Big Brother is actually the worst to rewatch because of that. Mm-hmm. It's such a in the heat of the moment as a player and as a fan, I think. But now watching her work and how she got the internet furious, I'm just like, this is Danielle Reyes. So other than that, she then goes, Danielle suggests Dolores. Carolyn says no, Dolores trusts both of us and she's tired, so let's go to breakfast to see what happened. Our first people to come in were Carolyn and Gabby. So Gabby suspects Danielle after her defense. I mean, Carolyn also threw out her name last round table. But she's like, that defense of, like, why would I kill all my friends? I don't know. It sounds like a traitor.
Yeah. Carolyn did not hesitate to be like, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. The thing, Carolyn and Danielle, I'm like, both of y'all trying to be like, yeah, we're in this together as traitors. And the moment they get a chance to turn on each other, they immediately take it.
They're BSing. This is like the best worst case scenario is the two traitors who were never on the same page are left in the game together. So of course they're BSing and it's so good.
Brat like fan cams of like the Girl So Confusing edits of Carolyn and Danielle, they are being turned out right now. Those fan cam like artists are in like the trenches. They're like, we got to get this footage out because it fits them so perfectly of like, they're, you want them to work it out in the remix and it's just not going to happen. Neither of them are interested in it and I'm obsessed.
Yeah, for sure. It would have been beautiful if they did end up together. Yeah. But I said it's the least likely ending. Now, Ivor, he walks in. He says, apparently he's with his boys. Ivor has been with Dylan and Sam this whole entire time. He says that Dylan is more deep thinking, where Sam has been playing with his feelings. I wish I saw that. Sam seemed very level-headed and logical last episode.
True. I don't know that man. The edit has given us nothing. Same with Ivar. I'm fed up with Ivar. I'm gonna say it right now. I'm fed up. Oh, it's one of the girls? Quit being weird, Ivar. Why don't you do stuff a bit, okay?
Not even one of the girls. He's like, both of the traitors
are both left.
It's like, oh, dude, I bet, dude. And it's the fact that he's right that's annoying. But I'm telling you right now, if I was in the traitor's castle and some white dude starts talking about, oh, it's probably the women, I'd be like, we got to get him out of here on principle.
He's so right.
That's crazy.
It's funny how someone from the royal family is like, behead all the women in this game. But yeah, so Sam, he's murdered. I mean, we knew this was going to happen, but like, he was just making sense.
He was. You know, but that's the thing about this game. If you start making sense, you might be on the chopping block.
Dang.
So, poor Sam.
Had the most faithful last words. He said, I've played with integrity and respect. I was like, okay, Sam.
Okay.
Okay.
Sam was like creating theories on his own, and Ivar is very like, I mean, which low-key in my rewatch today, I just appreciate sometimes how he'll be like, yeah, so it's between you and so and so.
There's like how many people left in this game? At this point, it really is. Gabby even says later to Dylan, she's like, oh, do you think it's me? It's okay. You could just tell me who you think it is.
I've brought this up on my like Twitch stream. I like cover traitors like the day after the episode drops. Mm-hmm. And to me, Nicole, maybe you'll see where I'm coming from. To me, Ivar is like the Bowie Jane of traitors. Where never like quite the biggest threat, never worth like truly targeting, but mm-hmm. it's still gonna cause problems. And it's such an interesting like dynamic of like, okay, you're not like the most dangerous person, but you're certainly, because he flipped the switch on Carolyn in this episode. He's like, yep. Yo, it might be Danielle. And then all of a sudden he's talking about like, oh, that's crazy that it's actually Carolyn. Like, it's so crazy.
He's unpredictable, but I think he was down for his boys, you know, and like that's another Bowie Jane thing. She was down for her boys till the very end. True. And I feel like at the reunion, if Ivar even gets a moment at the reunion, he's gonna be like, yeah, me and Dylan did that.
Security, hey man, that's crazy. How'd you get on stage? Exactly. Nurse, get him.
Now, I never talk about Alan's outfits during breakfast, and they don't give us the outfits, but I have to talk about that hair. What was that little baby ponytail at the top of his head? I was like, Alan, what happened today? We have so many good ideas until now. But post-breakfast, now people are talking. So Gabby says that the traitors will turn on each other now, so there will be drama. Gabby's too damn smart. They should have never let her in this far, because, yeah, that would be the thing that happens. And what do this whole episode is just that. Like...
And what does Gabby say at the end?
Oh, my God. You know?
She's like, well, were we just watching some Traitor on Traitor action? Like, it's giving Bob and Rob.
I know. But, like, could they have done anything differently? We can talk throughout of what Danielle, if she went too hard in the paint at any moment. But this was so, oh my God, for someone rooting for Danielle. Danielle, by the way, tells Dolores that the common trait with traitors are people who go on the attack. She's just planning stuff.
She is. Just setting it up.
Last season, it was, oh, Dan, you're too quiet. You must be a traitor. We're just making things up.
And I love that it sticks every time. And I'm sure both of you have heard the like criticism that Danielle's been facing from the other, like from the banished or and the murdered, where they're like, man, she was swearing on her kids. I'm telling you right now, if I thought it would have worked, I would have been in the Big Brother house swearing on my sister, my dog, my parents. If I thought it would have convinced people, and I love it because it's like, bravo, people. I feel like they never considered that as an option, especially when the cameras aren't rolling. And that's what kills me about Danielle is she's planting seeds in a way that, like, is very easy to follow as, like, an audience. Mm-hmm. And then also she's putting in work off camera. And that's hilarious to me. You should swear on your kids. I think it's fine. There's no way, like, God is invested in the, like, result of traitors. And so I fully co-sign her swearing on her kids and grandkids. That's so funny.
My thing is, it wasn't even the kids. Like, Danielle is a grown woman. We love it. She's been doing this for quite a while. It was the grandchildren, which I think is even crazier and funny. But it's like, to me, for the Bravo peeps or, like, the non-competitor stars who are trying to, like, pearl clutch, first of all, how many housewives have gone to jail? Prison. How many have they been, like, colluding with husbands in some stuff and getting jammed up? Some of them have scammed the elderly, and you guys still watch those shows. So I don't want to hear it about no Danielle who just said some words for a competition show.
Yeah. I'm like, do we not remember Phaedra Parks lying about how far along she was in her pregnancy to not get caught up in the fact that she clearly was pregnant before she got married, but also one of my favorite traitors.
She was training for traitors years and years ago, okay? I need everyone to get a grip. Dylan tells Gabby that, hey, if you were a traitor, you would have killed me. Showing that Danielle was right. Danielle said she wanted to kill Dylan and blame it on Gabby.
Yeah, and Gabby, I love that Gabby was just straight up, and she's like, I would have.
What's going on there? I want to know. Lastly, Dylan also says his closest ally was Danielle. So, but he needs to change gears. He's like, I might have been on the wrong path. Lastly, now, Quinn, we got to talk about this. Brittany and Danielle sitting there at that fireplace, Brittany being the one to cry for the first time. Is now Brittany mirroring Danielle because she has been crying since she saw her day one? Or do you think she, like, genuinely was like, oh, my God, I was so worried for you?
I don't know. It's so interesting because the beef all started with with reindeer games.
Mm-hmm.
And Brittany was legitimately so upset to have to send Danielle to her deathbed. Like, and I feel like people forget that, where people, I don't know, it seemed like the most positive experience in the history of Big Brother, where everyone's having a good time. Didn't know that was possible, other than Cam being a punching bag, but he's earned it. It's like, so I think that they genuinely, like, have, like, this really nice relationship. And so I do think that there's, like, a sincerity there where Brittany is what is, like, she truly does love Danielle. But Brittany is so good, I wouldn't be shocked if she's just matching the energy. Like, that's my take, is I think she's matching Danielle's output.
I'm also wondering, who else does Brittany have, genuinely? Because she was acting like, oh, my gosh, you're my lifeline. Like, I wouldn't know what to do in this game without you. And it's like, okay, Brittany, you've played Big Brother without her. Like, it's a bit of a reach.
Yeah, but she has gone through, what, 2-3 round tables where people were really kind of looking at her, you know? And so at this point, she is kind of running out of especially, you know, they keep voting out faithfuls, you know, in favor of Brittany. So, yeah, you know, I'm sure Brittany was feeling like, okay, Danielle, I need you. Because also, if Brittany's really thinking about the game, Danielle has been in people's mouths, her name has been in people's mouths too, right? Like, you want Danielle to still be there because you also don't want to be the only person with heat on you.
That makes sense. Let's get into this mission. First of all, I was disappointed at first looking at Alan. I was like, oh no. Yes! I thought he was doing some Bantu knots. And I was like, that's not for you, Alan. And then I looked a little closer and I was like, wait, they're chess pieces.
Yep.
He looks like Cynthia of Rugrats.
Oh my God.
That's doll, so right?
Yes, Cynthia is Angelica's doll.
Oh my God. This is like the crazy. This finally brought drag to my mind. It's like, oh yeah, Alan's just doing drag on this show.
Yes.
This was such a good Sorcerer Stone mission, guys. I hope it comes back every freaking season. We're on a chessboard, and basically the traders already were answering questions about the Faithfuls or themselves, and now the Faithfuls and themselves have to guess what the traders said. So the traders have to act like they don't know the answer. The Faithfuls have to actually figure out the answer. And I loved these questions. And we have some guests. They love Kate Chastain so much. We're never getting a season without her. She's here to stay. Are we still living for it or are we tired?
I'm here for it. I love her, you know? And it's like she doesn't even have to play to get a cameo. I love it. She's kind of like the traitor's version of like Jesse, Mr. Pectacular.
Yes.
Peacock is going to shoehorn her into a season. It doesn't matter when or where, she's there. And if not, it's like, it's going to be like a season finale on Traitors 18. And Kate's going to come out and it's just going to be a scene of her making breakfast. And they're like, we just needed a shot of her. I don't know. I'm obsessed.
Quinn, you know what else is going to happen? Because I feel like this happens with Big Brother knowledge, too. Once it gets to, like, a certain amount of seasons, people love the show, but they haven't seen every. So they're going to be like, yeah, and, like, it's amazing how Kate won, right? And then a traitor's diehard fan is like, Kate never won. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. The actuallys are about to go crazy on Twitter. It's over.
Yes. And then we have Parvati, who is working hard out here. She is on every show on Dondi right now and here, and she looks great, white and black. They're unveiling different life-size, actually bigger than life, chess pieces. And the first question, who is slithering under the radar? It was Brittany. Is that what you guys would have put if you were a traitor?
I would have said Dolores. From the edit, we haven't gotten too much from Dolores, like in terms of being a threat and versus like, you know, like the allegations. It's Tom who like, okay.
Literally. Only Tom.
I'm like, yeah, she's kind of slithering under the radar, I suppose.
And I feel like Brittany, that would have been true for Brittany maybe 2-3 episodes ago. But because there have been so many people being like, she's been flying under the radar, she is no longer flying under the radar. I feel like it's like Dolores or maybe even Ivor at this point, or maybe like people who are more flying under the radar because other people are catching people's attention more.
Yeah, that's fair. Who is the biggest threat to the traitors? Carolyn says, let's go Brittany. And Danielle is like, yes, let's. Carolyn, Danielle has been fighting you tooth and nail almost every decision. And now she's like, sure. And you're not a little, let's think about it again.
It hurts. It does.
It's like the fact that Carolyn did not think about how Danielle was potentially setting her up until she's done the game. And she's like, wait, did she set me up? And it's like, yes, she did. She started setting up in the tour when y'all were answering these questions. And she let you actually set yourself up. Like,
that's the worst part, is that she is very involved with her own demise. But, you know, Tom has to remind you that he's here, and actually he's a huge threat to the traitors. I can't believe they let him go for it. Is there in any realm, like, that he's actually doing something in there. I know Brittany says every single day Tom was using every brain cell to come up with a new theory, but that doesn't mean you're the biggest threat.
And he's often wrong. Like, I'm just like, he's using every brain cell, and it rarely, like, fires in the right direction. He still thinks it's Dolores. He's like, actually, as time has gone on, I'm even more convinced that it's Dolores. It's like, Tom, what?
At the reunion, they need to show every cut clip of whatever Dolores and Tom are saying to each other at the round table, because they're not even bothering, but they're still voting for each other.
It's so incredible. The only flowers I can give Tom is outside of his red tracksuit. He is the only dude this season who has actually tried to, you know what, dress nice. It's not the best. He's rarely delivering, but at least he's tried. He's royalty. Ivar's royalty. You shouldn't be wearing pants like that, Ivar.
I mean, that's what the royals are. They're like, do not behead us. Do not get the guillotines. We look just like you. While Tom, who can't afford to stay in his house and try to scheme Ariana out of it, is like, yes, dress to the nines. And this is why I'm saying those Bravo scammers.
That's what I was like. It's giving L.A. scammer, schemer, wearing the nicest suits he has in his closet to portray.
And he still topped it with a beanie. That's how you know he ain't shit.
That's crazy. And the hiking boots. I'm a hiking boot hater. I'll say it. I've never respected a soul in hiking boots. And he's walking around. He looks, you know, he is deep in the trenches in crypto. He loves Forex. He's like, yes, I actually signed up for a course. And if I get six people to sign up, then like I get a cut of their money. It's like, oh my God, Tom, please lock in. I'm begging. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. I'm upset.
It's
crazy.
But you know, they let him have it and they lose that. Then, the last one, who is the leader of the pack? They give it to Tom. Tom, being wrong once doesn't faze him. He'll shoot for the stars again. He's like, it's me. I've been a lone wolf this whole entire time. Carolyn pushes back and she's like, no one listens to me though. And I was living for how Dylan Efron kept looking at her. He was like, oh. Mm-hmm. No one else is saying we're not listening to you, Karen, but you are like, no, it's me. And I'm like, she doesn't even realize she's not looking at how this man is looking at her.
It's also based on how this competition went. I'm curious if next episode people will be looking at Tom because of the ways in which it's, because people are noting that Carolyn seems to ride for Tom a lot in that particular like question. Tom was like, oh, I'm the leader of the pack. Everybody else was like, no, literally Dylan's the leader of the pack. And Carolyn was the only person being like, no, we can't just sweep what Tom said under the rug, you know. So I'm just like, Carolyn, what is your allegiance to Tom about?
She has had made some interesting choices in allies this season, because I agree. I'm like, oh, now she's besties with Tom. I'm confused. And also, I mean, I don't know if it's a little bit of possible pettiness that Dylan's also starting to look at Carolyn, because he's like, I'm not the wolf. You don't see what I'm doing over here. I've been working my butt off. I had Bust and Rob in my camp. What are you doing? So, and the last one was actually whose voice is irrelevant. And that's when she volunteers herself. So, back at the castle. I mean, I love that the chess piece moved. I'm sure someone's just off to the side with like a little robot, but it looks so impressive.
I was proud of the production value. I was like, this is great. I was like, you, first of all, you can afford Parvati, turn up, love this, and now you have a moving chess piece? Let's go, Peacock. I see you. Let's go.
I mean, they're in Scotland. I'm sure Harry Potter filmed some things in there. Is there just like a business over there making huge mechanical robot things to move around? If so, good for them. No. Back at the castle, Ivor, Carolyn, and Tom talk about Danielle. They're suspecting her. Ivor and Tom talk after Carolyn leaves, though. And they're like, yeah, we just don't think she's capable. We're still feeling that way. Carolyn, she turns away Dolores. This is something you don't do. Like, I feel like Big Brother players are good for this, because you're trapped in a house. You don't just tell someone, oh, can you leave this? That's sus, right, Quinn?
It's bad energy. Part of my, just approach to life, I was knocking on every single door before going in, and then if people are talking, you, throw yourself in front of the bus and you say, oh, do you guys need a minute? Because you never want to put someone in the position to ask you to leave, because that just makes everyone feel weird. Mm-hmm. And I think that, maybe since Survivor is, right after the challenges, they only have a certain number of hours to have those important conversations before then they have to go to tribal council. And so I think that, Carolyn is a victim to the, format that she knows. Mm-hmm. And so she feels comfortable telling people, hey, can you give us a minute, when it's like, these aren't all hardcore superfan gamers that are here to lie, cheat, and steal. These are people with feelings that are playing with that. So,
yeah.
Bad move.
Right, because for Big Brother players like Danielle, it looks suspect for you to be off in the room with Dylan. And to someone like Dolores, a housewife, it's like, oh, so you're gossiping. What are y'all talking about that I can't know about, And it just looks bad all around, but I think Carolyn isn't thinking about that at all.
No. She's like, I need to get to my boy. And that was an interesting talk. She's sitting there throwing the sus on Danielle. Dylan's like, I don't know. She starts going in for his boy guilt. She's like, if I was Boston Rob, would you listen to me? Girl, you guys are very different. I don't know if that works, but now she's like, I've always been disregarded like this. And Dylan's like, I've literally watched your season. I am literally not trying to do that to you right now, but you have to come up with something that actually makes sense. And it's like, this is so uncomfortable. As someone who also watched Carolyn's season, but if I also suspected her, I'd be like, girl, I don't know what you want me to tell you right now. After that, Carolyn said that she can't believe that she's also in trouble, because he tipped her off. Dylan was like, oh, it's going to really suck if it's you two tonight. She's like, if it's me and her, then that's effed up. And I was like, why?
I genuinely feel like Carolyn has been playing a really, really good game up until now. And so she feels like she has earned the ability to point at Danielle, who she has witnessed play, admittedly, a very messy game. Mm-hmm. And so she probably feels like, wait, me? I'm the one, up until, today's competition, I'm the one who's been very intentional of, trying to cover my tracks and play smart. And now, all of a sudden, Danielle's getting away with this. And I think that's what, why she was so emotional about getting evicted, because it really did feel like she put in so much work, and then it's not enough, unfortunately, and it's so sad.
Yeah, she put in the work, but so did Danielle. Mm-hmm. She worked a little harder. Mm-hmm. At the round table, so Ivor starts everything off. He's like, two traitors left and they're women. And Gabby's like, hold on. Let's get to some points. Dylan says there will be something new introduced to the game tomorrow, so he wants everyone on notice for that. I mean, you don't know what it is, so why even mention it?
Yeah.
And part of me felt like he was trying to, shut down the Ivor, patriarchal, it's women. Because what was Ivor even saying? He's just like, it's two women. Okay, great. There's, multiple women sitting here, so which two are you talking about? What are the clues? What are your facts? What's your evidence? You're just being a man saying, it ain't me because it's two women. Thank you, Ivor.
I wonder how they still come to, like, any numbers of remaining traitors, because usually you start off with three, then you had Rob, they've caught two. Like, why can't it just be one, you know? Why are they so sure it's two?
They are at the point where usually it is at least always two traitors, right? They haven't gotten to the point where there might just be one.
Is that always fact, though?
I don't know. That's true. That's I didn't see season one, so I don't know.
So sure. And I'm just like, it would be more interesting if they thought it was just one and someone just has to get recruited then. But I don't know. As faithfuls don't need to lie. So why did Danielle lie that Caroline said Brittany's name? Danielle accuses Caroline of playing dumb. Now, the references that Danielle made, it got people talking because she says Forrest Gump and Columbo. Two disabled characters. It's not great, Danielle. It's not great. So she accuses her of putting herself in the game to throw people off, meaning the mission, and Danielle asks everyone if she ever said Carolyn's name. They all said no. She's so smart. Danielle's so smart. I love it.
Yeah.
Preseason for Big Brother 26, they asked us, like, various, like, media questions that they would share on, like, social media. Like, it was just supposed to be, like, content. They mm-hmm. asked you, like, who's one player, if there was a returning player in your season, who would you want to play with? And I said mm-hmm. Jag, because I feel like he was really loyal, you know, ally. And then they were like, who is one player you wouldn't want to play against? And I said Danielle Reyes, because she's a pit viper, and no matter what, she's dangerous. And so, like, I think that, like, even though she's been very messy since the start, and there's a lot of fake crying, the shaking is kind of a lot. Even despite all that, she's still Danielle Reyes, you know? And so I thought it was crazy how she really did. It felt like someone who, when you start a race and you realize, wow, I'm kind of out of shape, whatever, but then you catch your breath and you're able to, like, find your rhythm. It feels like she's found her rhythm. She set this trap during the competition. She let Carolyn go on the offensive, just to then whip the rug underneath her and then come at her with, like, several examples and reasons, like, motivations of, like, why it is Carolyn. Mm-hmm. I commented on Danielle Reyes, like, her Insta post when she was like, I need to explain myself. And I commented, you never have to explain yourself, queen. And every week, my comment gets more and more likes because they're starting to figure it out, okay? And I love Carolyn, and I was devastated to see her go, but I was like, that's Danielle Reyes! That's the best we ever had, all right? Best to never win. Come on, dude.
Yes.
So good.
Yes. And from what a lot of people are saying, the reason why we have a jury house.
literally.
Because people in Big Brother, like, were able to just go home, and then they got to see how she was talking about them in confessionals, and you see her, she's like, she said at the beginning of this episode to about Carolyn, if you don't want to not work with me, you don't want to do that, because it's not going to end well. And if you see that mm-hmm. over and over, and you have to decide if you're giving her $500,000 in a couple of weeks, you're not giving to her. So now jurors have to go to a house.
You get an idea of, like, the confidence of Danielle Reyes. You know, Big Brother is a show that is recorded week to week. It's not like Survivor, where, like, there's certain things that you could kind of toss up in the diary room and hope that it lands. It's every single week. Danielle Reyes is the person who did a live countdown of, like, one down, 15 to go, two down from the start of the season all the way until she was in the final two. So, like, that to me will always be, like, the coolest thing anyone's ever done, because it works out. And so, yeah, Danielle Reyes is so dope. I always cheer her on, you know?
Yeah, I love it. Now, of course, does not look good. Does not look good for Carolyn. And the other thing that Danielle used is she's like, I haven't said your name because I've been so afraid of being murdered. Murdered in my sleep. I'm a grandma who just wants to go home to her grandchildren. And Carolyn is so scary. So Dylan's like, I already made my decision. And she gets voted out. Even though Tom and Dolores are barely in this and had no say in this, Carolyn gets banished. She cries. She says that she just wanted to have fun, but she has to be honest. Being a traitor isn't fun. So she bowed out.
Yeah. I mean, she was stressed the entire time of being a traitor, just like with Bob and Danielle running the turret, then Boston Rob coming in. Just Carolyn has just been stressed. And then they get Bob out, but then it's like Rob, Danielle being like, oh, I want to get Boston Rob out, so naturally I'm going to go on the attack against Carolyn. Makes total sense. You know, and I'm just like, Carolyn has been stressed out this entire time. And I'm like, girl, I'm so sorry.
We said then that it was a mistake that she was going after Carolyn, but we see it pay off now. Was it a mistake or not?
I just think because it works doesn't mean it's smart. Right. I will say that, right? Danielle's my girl, right. But just because it worked doesn't mean it's exactly. smart.
She was able to salvage it. It came back around, and she was able to be like, I told y'all, you know, but at the time it was a little like, girl, if we're going for Boston Rob, let's just go for Boston Rob. Why do we need to turn on Carolyn?
Okay. And I'm very curious. It's so frustrating because this is where I do want it to be like Big Brother Quinn. Like, I'm just like, so much things are edited. Give me the live feeds because I have an inkling that Carolyn and Boston Rob were working together much more than we realize. And that's also a reason why it just needs to be one of them so it can be a one-on-one fight. And Carolyn seems like an easier opponent than Boston Rob to her.
And I think that was a miscalculation on her end of, like, how much people were underestimating Carolyn. You know, I think she, too, like, underestimated Carolyn. I'm like, people kind of just, like, at that time, people were not sipping the Kool-Aid that Carolyn, they thought Carolyn could be a traitor at all. You know, I think Boston Rob would have been an easier target at the time because there were people already starting to speculate. Bob on his way out, you know, made the declaration. So I'm just like, it would have been easier. I'm just like, I don't like the girls fighting against girls. Sometimes it has to happen, but that felt too soon for it to happen.
I think the emotions were high after Bob. Like, first of all, the first time Danielle Reyes played, she had a close male ally.
Jason Guy.
Jason, yes. And so she needed her Jason. I think she was like very like, oh, you messed everything up. Like, I have to burn this whole place down. And she did. So after the roundtable, like you said, Gabby tells Brittany and Tom that was giving Robin Bob. Alan joins Danielle in the turret. He says that she must offer someone face-to-face to join her or die. And she picks Brittany. Now, is this a setup?
Yes. To me, it feels like a scheme that Tom and them set up.
Tom and them? No, I'm talking about Danielle Reyes.
Todd, no, Todd. It's Todd. That's from Real Housewives of Atlanta, the Olay gang.
Oh, that's where it's from? I always pictured a white Todd. I thought people were bringing up, like, the white man.
No. Trying to get it's Candy Burris' mom and auntie's talking about her husband, Todd.
Okay.
I mean, literally, we just watched Danielle Reyes look Carolyn in her face and say to her, I want it to be me and you at the end. And what is she now saying about Brittany? I want it to be me and Brittany at the end, splitting the money. And I'm like, what if the ultimate get back be, I get you to be a traitor,
yep.
and then I set you up for your demise?
Yep. She's going for the ultimate revenge for BB Reindeer Games.
Long game.
The one season special has become momentous in this
The root
season.
Of all evil and destruction. Where they were shooting off a time laser a couple months ago. And now there's the prospect where she'll stab Brittany in the back. I hope not, all right? Because I have to go on the Big Brother cruise with those two. And I hope they're rich, all right? I hope they both have money and it's not awkward, okay? Because I won't be able to choose of my favorite when I'm chilling next to the pool. I don't have that in me.
Oh, my God. Because Brittany already has some heat. She already got some heat. It cooled off a little bit. And now, yeah, I'm going to offer you, Brittany, please come be a traitor. And then, I don't know how she would set Brittany up this time, but...
Yeah.
Daniel has, but then the act, okay, why did Daniel break down like that?
It might straight up be adrenaline. Like, I like that to me, that's the only, please, you know? And it was like, it made it so much worse. The internet is not being normal about this at all. They're like talking about how much they hate Daniel Reyes. And it's just like, it's so sad to see because I get that Carolyn, I love her. I myself feel like a weirdo, and it's like when you're on reality TV, there's a lot of like, you know, you feel like a circus animal type thing. And so like I get where she's coming from, and it was hard to see Carolyn get so overwhelmed. And so the timing of Danielle being on the ground and shaking as they're like, "You got her! You got her!" She's like, "I did it!" It's like, "No! Please stop!" The timing is—it could never be worse. I'm begging, just please. Oh my gosh, it might be adrenaline where she's like, "Oh my god, we pulled that off!" Like that's
yeah.
What I have to tell myself.
It might be. It was a lot, and I love her for it because I know Quinta. Like I watch Bravo as well. But as much as the Bravo fans online are claiming they want the drama and everything, Daniel Reyes is giving Adair Elias. He's giving Young and the Restless.
It is.
So I don't know what else you want from her. She's serving strategy as well as the mess that we love. So let her live.
She is giving us the mess and the drama and like, what was it? Ivar was like, if Carolyn is a traitor, she deserves an award. And I'm like, if Carolyn deserves an award, Danielle Reyes definitely deserves an award because the amount of times we've seen her cry, the way she crumbled to the floor.
It's the shaking for me. That's just, and like, people want to come at for her for her look. She's like, I'm here to get money. I don't care about how my hair's looking that day. You can say what you want. And I'm like, this is like, it's the antithesis of Bravo. So I get that the Bravo fans think they can go low. But it's like, if you're a gamer, one and done. I'm here for money. I'm here for making my name. I don't care. And I love that energy because, yeah.
Also, I just have to say, Danielle and I have the same braider, hairstylist in Oakland. And people talking about her hair. I'm like, this is only a conversation Black folks can have.
Yes.
We're talking about a Black woman's hair. And also, what people forget is, like, you are filming these shows for weeks, right? And so it's, like, your same type of maintenance you could do with your hair and, like, your home setting is a bit different when you're in the middle of Scotland in a castle. Let them in their hair live.
She's living her best life. She's serving so much. And also, I can't help when watching the Carolyn and Danielle play out. There's some interesting things that happened because in this episode, we watched a white woman say, all my life, I had to fight. Danielle is using tears, and it's the white woman that's like, don't you dare with those tears. And I'm like, what bizarre land am I in? Happy Black History Month, I guess.
True. I was honestly worried for Danielle because I'm like a white woman and a black woman going up against each other, and Danielle is the only black person left in the castle, you know? And like, I will never forget Trishelle getting peppermint out on the strength of like trans misogynoir, like straight up. She's like, there's a black trans woman in front of me. I don't trust her. She needs to go. Yeah. So I'm just like, the fact that Danielle has made it this far and she can cry, tremble, shake, and gasp for breath.
It's like, revolutionary. Using black tears is revolution.
Like, you know what? She deserves a dub, honestly.
She's overcome the impossible. This is incredible.
This is so funny. So speaking of, what is a beautiful black moment of the episode?
I mean, mine is Danielle collapsing to the floor after Carolyn said she was a trick. I was like, the collapse? You know what? Everybody's like trying to comfort her, and I was like, go off, honestly, Danielle. Go off.
It was like Gabby and one other person. Was it Brittany that was comforting her?
I think Dolores went at first, and then when she collapses, Dolores backs off, and I think maybe Brittany goes in.
She's like, never mind.
It's kind of incredible that, like, if you think about it, you know, Dylan Efron, he's so familiar with Survivor. It kind of feels like Big Brother's played the long game, where rewatching a Big Brother season is like so impossible because it's like 40 episodes, best case scenario.
Yep.
No one is going back to season 3. And then maybe if they tune into season 7, but even then Danielle is like in an impossible situation. So it's like her falling, they're buying it. They're like, this, she's just this old woman and she's, her grandkids are, you know, being sworn on, like, she would never. And so her falling, and she's trembling and shaking, they don't think for a second, oh, this is the most dangerous woman in reality TV. This woman should have won her season, but literally, like, she, and I'll say it, I like the hat. I like the hat, okay? They're not taking her seriously because the hat is a little ridiculous, but at least she's trying. She's putting herself out there. And so I think you're right. I think that, like, it's a combination of everything. Her on the ground trembling. It's like, you know what? Go for it, Danielle. Sure. Why not?
Also, Quita, I am kind of curious of, like, how Danielle would be perceived if she looked more together, you know? Mm-hmm. Would that increase her target? I don't know, because, like, I don't know, fashion comes into play on this show. Freaking Trishelle and Peppermint are like, this comes down to fashion, and who brought the best fashions, and it's like, what? And then even this season, after Ion was murdered, she was like, oh, Bob just wanted me out for my fashion, and it's like, what is this? So, I don't know, if you're not threatening someone else with your fashions, maybe you can move a little further. Maybe when you do fall out on the floor, it does look like your life was threatened and you're going through it.
Maybe. Don't be fashionable and go on the traders, because you might be taken out.
Yes. My beautiful black moment is definitely Danielle being like, yeah, let's go with Brittany, with Carolyn. Like, let me help you put this chess piece down. Let's cement it. I was like, oh my God. Quinn, do you have one?
Oh, yes. I would have to say it was like Danielle straight up just being like, no, I want Brittany up here in the turret so it's the three of us so that we can cross the finish line together. Together. I would have said your name 2 days ago, for sure. But we're in it together. We're a unit. Okay? We're a unit. I love it. I think that takes confidence. It takes gall. And you know what? Shoot your shot, Danielle. I co-sign it. You know, absolutely. I'll always subscribe to her her visions.
Yes. Then we have a chaotic bi moment, Quinn. Chaotic bi moment can either just be chaotic, our bisexual that's still in the game, well, not in the game now, was Carolyn. And then Gabby's our lesbian, so she can count if we want to. But yeah, our chaotic bi moment episode, Quita, do you have one?
I have to give it to Alan and his mini pony, followed by the chess pieces hairstyle. Mm-hmm. I love a good hair accessory. I'm fond of the butterfly, but the fact that he came out there with like the chess piece hairstyle, I was like, okay, I see the vision. I love queers. I don't know why we're like this, but we are, and I love every second of it.
Yes. Yes.
He probably owned that. He owned that before the show.
That was definitely.
And he was probably like, oh, you know, this would be perfect. And he probably had it, you know?
I mean, we need an interview with this costume department, please. They're doing so much. And, like, this is so oversized. We have red gloves. I don't remember if his dog has an outfit. I like specifically had Jordan, my partner, watch the chess part because I'm like, it's giving Harry Potter. You would love this. And yeah, they cut to the dog and Jordan was like, what in the world was that? I was like, he's a cast member now. It was kind of promoted before the season. Yes.
Back yeah. on the whole organization, all right?
Yeah. Okay, chaotic bi moment. I want to say her and Dylan. Like, I feel like her sit down with Dylan, just from Dylan being like, was it her? Or I think it was her who said this to Dylan, actually, which was so sus. She was like, are you getting me in here just to talk to me and someone's behind the bar? And they were like, no, someone checked.
Yeah, she did say that.
That's a lot, Carolyn. And then you're sitting this man down and being like, wouldn't you you should believe me, just like you believed Boston Rob. You mean a traitor? What? So. Oh, shit. How about you, Quid?
The first round, like, pick was going to be Dylan doing his ab workout. That was crazy. And okay. I thought it should just be mentioned on broadcast. That was nuts. But my moment had to be the Brittany Parvati crumbs that we got. Mm-hmm. If I'm Brittany, I would throw up. Because that was by far Brittany's least, like, fashionable outfit throughout the series. Mm-hmm. And she looks at Parvati and she goes, don't judge me for my outfit. And then Parvati said something back where she's like, you look great or something.
Or she's like, the pink looks good on you.
Yeah. Oh, I'd pass out. I'd simply die in that moment. And so that for me that's my pick of like, you know what? I get it, Brittany. That's all I would be thinking about. I'd be like, no way. I'm underdressed right now. And Parvati's right there. That's crazy. That's nuts.
Yeah. Okay. So does this mean we think Brittany Haynes has never met Parvati? Mm. Have they not met each other? Or is this like... We have.
I don't think they've met.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Now that is amazing. And it is like, yeah, I'm underdressed. But you know what?
She looks adorable. I never realized like, or I never thought about how small Brittany is, but in this picture, she looks so tiny. She's adorable,
tiny.
But I would throw up because Carolyn's jacket, I feel like it hasn't been mentioned, looks great. And it matches her dress from move-in day. I loved it. I loved Carolyn's look. Gabby's eating him up with the trench moment. And then if I'm Brittany, I'd be like, oh my God, I wore the hoodie and the jeans and the hiking boots. This is terrible. In front of Parvati, oh my God. Like, I get it. I would die.
At this point, is it just a Big Brother thing, too? That it's like, you guys are used to being hoodies, jeans in a house? Like...
This is the worst time. That's crazy. Listen, Quita, you need to know, I was probably the most well-dressed of my season. Is that fair to
yeah.
say?
Yeah.
Other than Leah. You... Leah crushed me, but Leah yes. has money, all right?
Yes.
I was pulling up broke with fits, okay? I have
okay.
these prison pants, Quita, okay? I know I'm wearing a hoodie right now, and that's terrible, but you have to consider that I just woke up from a nap, okay? Big Brother players can be well-dressed. Right now, hold on. I have pants. I have really nice pants.
Wait.
you're like, let me defend it, all right? Look at these. Something to think about, okay? I almost
okay.
wore these today.
You did. Okay.
And I almost wore these, okay?
Those are great. Yeah.
Those are great pants. We love it.
I think Tom Sandoval would wear the printed pants for sure.
That is true. That is for sure. And someone from my season, Tucker, allegedly, up until like literally 2 weeks ago, I thought he was close personal friends with Tom Sandoval. And so you can imagine my internal battle, Nicole, as I'm like, my friend and castmate is friends with Tom Sandoval. This is crazy. I now know that they took a picture together and that was it. But
that was it, yeah.
The internet was running with that, where they're like, yo, Tucker knows Tom. This is crazy. One of Tucker had like 4 birthday parties after the show, and one of them was at Tom's restaurant. So then people were like, they had their like yarn and cork boards going. And so it was crazy. It was crazy. But
wait, now that I'm thinking of it, this is jogging my memory. Wasn't Tucker in like the finale party of
Vanderpump Rules? Yep.
Oh.
Quita, the finale party where Tom tries to talk to Ariana and she walks out. Tucker was there.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's incredible. I didn't know that. That's so cool.
I'm pretty sure, like, I wrote about this. Yeah, I was like, this is nuts. I wrote about that connection, and I wrote about you connecting with Zach Wurtenberger, Quinn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. Yes, I read that. That's so funny. Oh, my gosh. I never connected that that was you, but yes. Yeah, shout out Zach Battyburger. That's my boo. That's my shoddy. I love him.
Quinn is like, what in the world?
You're like, here. Zach, who? It's okay. Okay, so there's this, like, there's this skinny guy that was on Survivor, and then his brother was on Big Brother, and I really liked him because he was respectful to women, okay?
Okay.
And so then on Cameo, Zach was helping people with their casting videos, and I just wanted to hear words of affirmation that my casting video was good. So then I spent the money, and then I was on the show, Quita, okay? And then I said, beat you too, Zach. It was a whole thing.
On live TV, voting someone out, said, beat you too, Zach. Because he was the first one out on Survivor. But it's okay. Yes. So, the reality TV world is small, but one thing I know for sure, I'll never have Tam Sandoval on this podcast. And I will.
What the heck? What? That's how I was promised that he was making an appearance. Normally, I charge like $30,000 an appearance. And Nicole was like, "Yeah, my close personal friend Tom Sandoval will be there." And I was like, "Oh, okay, I'll pull up then for sure." This is so disappointing. I can't believe it.
Very disappointing. I'm so sorry. Okay, Quinn, where can people follow you? I know you're on Twitch, you're reacting to these episodes. So
You can check me out on Instagram at I Believe That We Will Quinn. Or if you want to check me out on Twitch, it's Every Now and Quinn. Feel free to book a cameo, you know. I'll tell your crush that they're sick nasty and look cool in yellow, you know.
and Quita, where can people follow you?
You can find me at @hello_Quita on Instagram. That's really the only platform I'm pretty active on. And during the day I am moonlight as a social justice like nonprofit consultant. So you see I'm not in my usual setup because I'm doing my day job this weekend.
And I am your host, Nicole Weaver, guys. Thank you for watching. Please like, comment your thoughts, and subscribe to the channel. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please rate the podcast 5 stars. Leave a review so other people can find us. Right now, we are continuing, obviously, our recaps of The Traitors. Next week, we'll actually have Asia Welch of Survivor on to join us. And we are also talking about Love is Blind, this time with Princess Weeks. Season 8 is not great, but we are making it very entertaining, so you should still watch our recaps for that. And Survivor 48 is coming, so just prepare for what we may or may not be doing here for that. That's about it, guys. I hope you feel visible and stay visible today. Bye.